Welcome to Career Tools. I'm Mark Horseman, one of our co-founders. Just like we did 2 weeks ago in our Manager Tools feed, we are going to surge a series of casts for the next several days about career obstacles that you'll be facing in light of COVID-19. We're going to cover how to help other people, how to respond to a career crisis, job search tips, and even getting laid off. An uncomfortable topic, but it's going to happen in record numbers, and we want as many of you as we possibly can help to be prepared. Tough times like these call for us to be our best, to care for each other, and to stay hopeful. We're rooting for you, and if you need help, send us a mail.
Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's topic, getting laid off. Finances rule. Hello everyone, this is Mike, and welcome to Manager Tools. Today's cast reveals the most important concept a laid-off manager must know, finances rule. This is the first cast in a series designed to help both prepare for and navigate through a layoff. Now, most of us fear being laid off. Now, frankly, it's a pretty good fear to have. Being laid off is a difficult passage for anyone. The fear of being re-employed, the fear of loss of status, the loss of income, risk to one's family, all good reasons to be scared. And yet, those who have been laid off express very different emotions than those of us who have not. When those who have been laid off are asked about it, it becomes clear why. It's not just they've been through it once and made it. It's what they then say, I'm ready this time. And that's why you're scared. You're not ready. And this cast tells you how to start getting ready. And our entire series about layoffs will be geared to helping everyone get prepared and helping those that do get laid off make it through more successfully. So here we go.
You know, it's funny, in a way, this is our first sort of personal finance podcast.
You know, you're right. That's really not how we started thinking about the topic, but that's where we end up, and so you're right.
Not only are we not thinking that way, neither is anyone else when it comes to being laid off.
Yeah, and this is part of the reason why I think this cast and other casts to follow are powerful for us and for our listeners and members. Not only do people not think about this stuff? I think it's an emotional response, not thinking about it. It's just, you know, I don't want to. There is very little thinking. Okay, there's feeling, there's fear, but there's very little thinking about being laid off.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That's all there is most of the time. There's just fear.
Yep.
But my point was that it's not just us not thinking about finances when it comes to layoffs. Most folks probably rather think of it as loss of status, stigma, career damage, and all those things that really affect their ego versus the
whole
finance.
Ego and fear, exactly right, yeah. And they miss the real killer of all of it, which is cash flow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Since surely there is someone listening to us right now who probably got laid off yesterday and is thinking, yep, please tell me what I need to do now that I've been laid off, we probably ought to keep this introductory stuff to the bare minimum
and
get on with our recommendation. So what's our agenda?
Right. Simple. We have one overarching principle, and we have one recommendation related to that. The core principle we're going to talk about in surviving layoffs is finances rule. And our one pre-layoff recommendation, and that's this cast is about pre-layoffs, our one pre-layoff recommendation to achieve the finances rule mentality is get 6 months of liquidity in your personal finance life now.
Yeah, that seems pretty simple.
Right.
So let's start with the core principle, finances rule. This is surely going to surprise some people.
Yeah, I guess so. But here's what, and you know, 20 years ago, I wouldn't have guessed that. I didn't know that. It's not like, okay, I went to school and therefore they taught me that. No, we didn't know that.
Until you got laid off.
Yeah. Here's what our experience tells us. What most managers do when they're laid off, even when they have some sense in advance that things aren't going well, right? Even when they get a hint about things at work. And so they might reasonably expect,
we might reasonably be able to expect that they would be thinking about what might happen to them if the axe does fall. What most managers think about is getting another job. They jump right to that next job. Now, I'll tell you, it's not... I think the underlying emotion there has to do with personal finances. I think they know that at some level, but they've never done anything about it in advance. And when it actually happens, they can do some things, which we'll cover in later casts, but if they don't do these things now, there's a much greater likelihood they'll make poor choices once it happens.
Okay, but you said earlier about them looking for their first thought was to look for
another job. Right.
But we're not going to recommend that they not do that, are
we? No. Good point. Here's the problem with the conventional wisdom that you start looking for your next job. Managers start thinking about finding another job, but they don't think about what they're going to be doing 60 days after the layoff or termination when, for whatever reason, they haven't found a job. Finding a job is the way out of the crisis, the personal / professional crisis. I think crisis is really too strong a word. I think I've told my story before about what it feels like to get fired, and everybody ought to get fired once to appreciate that it's not as bad as they think.
It's not a crisis.
It's not. It really isn't. It's an event. And the emotional ego fear response driven from the event creates a crisis in the person's mind and makes them make bad choices. And let me just say, I'll never forget getting fired. Walked in one day and 15 minutes later I was fired. And the story that I tell to try to give people an understanding of what it's like is in Raiders of the Lost Ark, in the first Indiana Jones movie, he's in the bar in Nepal or Kathmandu or Tibet, Indiana Jones, the bad guy gets the drop on him. He reaches for his gun, I think, but it's not there. The bad guy has the gun pointed right at him, and Indy probably has his life flash before his eyes. And then the gun goes off, and Indy looks down at his chest and feels around for where the bullet went in, and then looks up at the bad guy like, huh, that was weird. And he looks up, and his girlfriend, Karen Allen, has shot the bad guy. And that's what getting fired feels like. Okay, you lose your job, and you're like, well, okay, let's go find another job. It is a surprisingly liberating experience. But for many people, the fear, the ego fear, causes them to make all kinds of really, really poor choices. Okay, so we're not going to say don't go look for a job, right? But we would suggest there's something before that, which is what we're talking about here, which is finances. Basically, managers routinely underestimate how long a job search is going to take. What that means is that when those 60 days are up, for instance, 60 days, a rough example, they haven't changed anything about their economic situation, and then the search sours, and it often does so quickly. Basically, what's happened is the manager has rushed to find another job at the expense of preparing for a longer period of unemployment. And because of this, and this is critical, the fear of not having a job hits them at about the same time that they begin to feel financial stress.
Right. And so their search, not going well already, suddenly gets even worse. And it gets worse not only in the sense that they worry and are less efficient and effective. Now they begin to believe that any job is better than no job at all.
Right, exactly.
And they begin to set their sights on jobs that don't pay as well as that they had before.
Yeah, totally. Basically, the failure to recognize the deadly effects of financial stresses in advance means that the job search itself is much harder, perhaps much more embarrassing. And by the way, the embarrassing part is another choice that managers make that reduces their success chances during the transition. Finances rule because your search will deteriorate once you start having to do things differently because you don't have the cash flow to support yourself and your family.
Yeah. So here it is. If you don't think about finances early, as in before the layoff, you run the risk of making everything worse.
Yep. We cannot stress that enough. Don't be so busy trying to get a job that you allow cash flow or lack of cash flow, significantly reduced cash flow. I guess technically going to zero is significantly reduced, isn't it?
I would say.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Don't allow lack of cash flow to reach up and bite you and ruin whatever progress you might have made. Personal finances, look, it may not seem relevant now, but the danger they pose is so big if you get laid off, we've got to get on the solution now before that layoff.
Okay. So what about the idea of 6 months of liquidity now?
Yeah, that is our proactive addressing of the insidiousness of finances hurting someone during their layoff or their termination. Hopefully it's easy to understand, right? First, I just want to shock some people. Many thousands of managers with whom we've worked have perhaps 3 weeks of spendable income. You ask around, people say, oh, Mark, you know, 60 days, 90 days, 180 days, whatever. No, 3 weeks. They don't really think about it. What's the old joke? We have a month left over at the end of the money. You know, you're house poor, whatever the case might be. Look, they don't really think about it, but when they get laid off, they then immediately think about it. And those moments worrying about their cash flow, when the cash essentially runs out, are moments not spent interviewing or searching effectively.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. When they get laid off, if they don't have that 6 months of liquidity, now they have to think about two important things, not just one.
Exactly.
Which should be job hunting, right?
Right, right. And every time they have to think about it, it just occurred to me, it's not in the show notes, but every time they have to think about personal finances, they feel guilty. They feel they're disappointed in themselves. It's a reminder of, oh, I'm a failure, which they're not. You have to have it happen to you to realize I'm not.
Which is a terrible thing to be going through your mind when you're sitting there in front of somebody interviewing for an important position.
Yeah,
exactly. It's not a good mental state to be in.
Okay, and just to be clear, we do mean 6 months. We're talking about half a year's worth of income in cash or other quickly negotiable instruments. And look, that seems like a lot, and I'd be willing to bet that there are plenty of people out there that don't have it. The vast majority of people who listen don't have it. But when you're in your third month of your layoff, and you begin to feel pinched because you didn't do this, and then you start really getting nervous, people can hear it in an interview. Your spouse can feel it day to day, and it's not something that builds confidence to start dealing with both the search and the cash flow issue.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, how do we recommend managers get to the 6 months?
Yeah, it's certainly different everywhere. I think probably in the U.S., there's a greater ease in terms of tapping house equity, things like that. I mean, there are rules in other parts of the world that don't make that as possible. But we recommend managers start saving now. Start saving part of their paycheck now and put it aside in an interest-bearing cash account or a highly liquid account. That would not be, in the United States, not be a 401k, not a retirement plan, and so on. Okay, now look, it's painful at first. But like so many of things, of course, the pain, you can either have a low-grade pain for a long period of time or you can have an intense pain for a short period of time. But you know what? It's painful at first, like any budget crunch that comes up along the way. But that little bit of savings, even if it takes you a year or two, actually it'll take you more than a year to accrue 50%, but it's worth incredible amount of peace of mind. And I actually know people who continue to save, and they go from 6 to 9 months, and they take that 3 extra months that they realize they don't need, and they invest that. And that was all money that, they didn't make the higher return that would put it at more risk and make it less liquid. But at the entire time, they had total peace of mind about potential job loss, which in today's world, any job from manager up to CEO, there's a chance you're going to get laid off. If you don't think that because your company's too good or you're too good or the industry's too good, you're mistaken. We've seen it everywhere, in every place, at all levels.
All the time. You know, you were talking earlier about someone you knew, an executive that you helped with a job search. I think it's relevant. Can you share that story?
It is a good story. And I think we probably could have made this more of the high level, the structure of the cast. But I think this story, it's kind of nice that it's buried in here. When people hear this, they will never forget this story. It's been about 7 years ago. I will never forget it. A senior executive, a friend of mine, called me and told me he'd gotten fired.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter about laid off or fired when it comes to this recommendation, folks. The result is the same. If you're out of work, you got no cash flow.
Exactly. And really, that's why we joked about this being a personal finance cast, because it doesn't matter how you get there. Now you've got a personal finance issue that's clamoring for your attention, right? Exactly. Okay, so good. So this guy calls me, and he says he's gotten fired and needs help with a search. It happens all the time. I say, sure, okay. We spend a half an hour or so going over what happened, what he wanted to do, and where he wanted to do it. That's a classic set of questions I ask people. Okay, fine. What do you want to do? And where do you want to do it? typical. Towards the end, he says, hey, listen, one more thing. I've got to have a job pretty fast. Timing is key for me. Some alarm bells went off for me, and I kind of asked as casually as I thought I could, hey, you certainly don't want to make a tactical move that makes sense, that's a strategic blunder though, right? And he says, and this is a senior guy, I don't really care, I just really need a job. You dance around a little bit, I finally ask why. He says, oh, look, I got no money. I'm overextended with debt, I simply have to have a job within the next few weeks, 2 months tops. Now this guy's making $200,000 a year.
Wow.
And he's gotta have a job within 2 months. Yeah, wow. Here's the thing. And here is the nugget that I think people will miss. But if they were on the receiving end of that conversation, if they're the one that gotten called, they would have drawn the same conclusion as well. I drew a conclusion right then about this guy's fitness for senior leadership, and it was not positive for him. What's more, the guy I most thought this friend of mine who had called me could work for was in a perfect position to hire him. When I referred him, my friend who was hiring naturally expected me to be candid with him.
And you have to in this.
Yeah, yeah. You can't. You don't say, oh, yeah, I knew that, but I didn't feel comfortable telling you because this other guy's all like, no, of course, you have to tell him. And in the course of our conversation, it came out that there were cash flow issues. It killed the deal immediately. There was simply no way that a senior executive could be tolerated who couldn't manage a low five-figure monthly budget when the org budget he'd be messing with would be tens or even hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, this doesn't surprise me at all, but it's sad nonetheless. He hadn't planned,
yep,
essentially violating our core rule of layoffs, and it hurt him very specifically and directly.
Yeah. The lesson here is that for more senior positions, one's inability to plan for and handle tough disruptions in your personal life are absolutely in play in other judgments regarding your professional competence. Look, if you're going to survive a layoff, your finances not only give you more time, they also affect your ability to be hired, both in terms of others' evaluations and in terms of your state of mind about which opportunity to choose.
Of course, it's different in different parts of the world, but there are a few specific steps one can take to reach the six-month mark, what we call peace of mind money. Actually,
right.
Actually, there's another term here, at least here in the United States, we won't talk about. The hardest one for most people to swallow initially is to start saving 10% of your income each month for this purpose. Another possible one, although this can't, I hate, you know, we're going to talk about, what I'm talking about is a home equity line of credit.
Right, okay, right.
What happens is people take out these home line of equity credit. I have one. I had several hundred thousand dollars line of credit. But I tell you, if it's there, there's a danger of starting to use it. Right. So with that caveat, having one and being able to just gin up cash by writing a check immediately is very useful in the sense of a layoff.
I will say this, though, regarding the availability of it when you get a line of credit, okay? If someone right now is listening and you're worried that you can't open a line of credit because you want to do that, you believe that's the way to get 6 months, that is an appropriate way to do it. But if in doing so, you literally worry that you won't be able to keep your hands off of it, if I knew that, I wouldn't ever promote you to an executive position. That is an emotional maturity concept that is absolutely reasonable to be considered. And I say executive, but frankly, if I were a director or a senior director and I was hiring a manager and I got a sense that there were those issues at heart, I'd say, okay, what's the underlying engine of that? Where is that weakness going to play out at work? What kind of supervisor or manager or executive can they be? And that's the kind of stuff that people say, oh, that's private. No, it's not. It's absolutely an indication of character, an indication of ability to control one's habits, which management is about habits because management's about behavior.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, all those aspects of your personal life are at play
yeah.
when when your boss or others are making judgments about your ability to manage.
In the same way that one of the
like
one of the parts of your personal life that's in play is your honesty. Well, I should get hired based on honesty. I said, okay. So in other words, personal life, traits and characteristics, your personal way of living is actually at play. Yes, it is. And that includes the way you interact with money. No question. Yeah.
Good. Okay. Yeah, and one thing, though, we urge you not to do, which is to don't touch your retirement savings for a large number of reasons.
Yeah, and actually that one goes over into once you're laid off. People say, okay, well, I can do that, separate from the penalty and the cash and all that stuff. Of course, different financial institutional rules in different parts of the world and so on. But the people who don't have 6 months end up touching retirement. They feel bad about touching retirement. They do less well on the search. They affect their ability to make long term, and it ends up that termination, that layoff, has not just a momentary, an episodic effect. It has a long term cancerous effect on financial well being. It affects their ability to have a good retirement.
Yeah.
That's
sad.
Yeah.
And all you got to do is prepare ahead of time.
Yeah.
A little bit. This is not hard.
Right.
Day in, day out, once a month.
Right.
Put 10% of your savings aside.
I know there was a book a couple of years ago written in the United States, you know, the latte millionaire or something effective. If you just didn't have that $4 latte every day, after a while that adds up, time value of money and so on. It's those kind of choices. And we have future casts on layoffs that go to this issue of how to be careful, how to cut expenses. That's actually finance rule number two, once you actually do get laid off. But you can apply the concept of cutting expenses now in terms of figuring out ways to get to that, the 6 months. So,
yeah. Okay, good. Time to wrap up?
With one kind of, I guess, quick caveat. The cast is simple. It's fairly short. But folks, don't be fooled. We have seen too many people, friends of ours, do serious damage to their careers by not knowing this core principle about finances rule. Finances rule and failure to know that and act on it can hurt your career for years, I was just alluding to. We could and will, frankly, knowing us, talk for hours about how to do many more things around job loss. But this is the one key thing everyone listening can do now. It's why we started. It is the people that do this well make everything else when they have a sudden cash flow / job loss issue. They do it so much better. Please think seriously about rearranging your financial choices. By the way, one, spend less.
Yeah.
So you can make it through what is an ever-increasing likelihood in much of the developing world of management.
Great point. Okay, so the wrap-up, folks, is pretty simple. When you're laid off, finances rule. The most important thing you can do to be successful is to save now for 6 months of liquidity. This action now makes your job search much, much easier and your choices more likely to get you where you want to go.
Thanks, partner.
All right, my friend.
Well, that's it for today's cast. I hope you got something out of it, and I hope you do what we suggest, which is get ready in case, just in case, you get laid off or something unexpected happens. It certainly can't hurt to be prepared. So, with that, we'll see y'all next week. So long.